Earners, what's up? Y'all know I'm big on doing your research, sharing your research, and giving credit to where you found the research. But I always get asked the same question. Where do I start with the research? And the answer is easy. It's our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. Whether I'm tracking the daily movement of my favorite companies, doing technical analysis with their easy-to-use charting platform, or checking balance sheets, Yahoo Finance makes something very complex simplified. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You could actually securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors, and it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, the real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, that's yahoofinance.com. You heard me, yahoofinance.com. Don't wait, don't hesitate. I use it. You should go over there and start using it now.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Check out our great selection of garage and utility lighting options. In stock, ready to take home today. We carry everything to help you illuminate whatever project you're working on. Shop garage and utility lighting products in store at your nearest Menards. You can also view all of our entire selection of lighting options today on Menards.com. Save big money
at Menards. All right, so now we're going to get into some details. So, all right, so for vending machines, right? First question is, how much does a vending machine cost?
So it can range. So, I mean, the cheapest you're going to find it is always going to be somewhere around $1,000 if you're using a used machine versus if you're coming in with something new, you're looking at about $5,000.
$5,000 for a brand new one.
Brand new, top of the line so type of thing.
New or used, I didn't even know that there were new or used machines. Where do we even get this? Like, where am I finding a new machine? Where do I go?
So, I mean, new machines you could get from like the manufacturers actually making like Coke, Pepsi, like those type of places you could buy them straight from them. Those are where the new machines come from.
And we're talking about actual, what, I mean, there's different types. Are we talking about food vending machines?
So we're talking about sodas, snacks. They do have food. They have ice cream machines. There's a lot of different types.
Okay.
So if you're talking about used machines, which is, you know, I use used machines, and that's what I recommend everybody else to use, mainly because it's easier to maintain and it's a lot more affordable. Like the price is nowhere close to, you know, $5,000. You can get a used machine for around $900, which my first machine was.
Okay.
And you can find those on places such as like Craigslist, OfferUp,
Amazon,
Letgo. It might be a little more Amazon.
Okay.
And then the only reason I would say not to get it off like a platform where it's like online, because I would recommend you checking the machine out first. You don't want to get it and get it where you don't know.
You don't know.
And then it's not working right, and then you have to ship it back. Like that's a long process.
So you said Letgo.
Yeah.
Like what's that?
So it's an app.
It's an app?
Yeah, so Letgo, OfferUp, Facebook Market. Mm-hmm. But it just depends. And another thing is, it matters is how are you trying to scale this? Do you want this to be on some side hustle, passive income stuff, or do you want to grow it into like a full-time business? Because if you're just doing it as a side hustle just to earn some extra bread on the side, you know, using those resources such as like, you know, Crest is fine. But if you really want to do it like full time, you want to find like what I call vending warehouses. So a vending warehouse is just a vending company that is large enough to sell you vending machines. So that's kind of how we make our money on the back end. I might have some machines sitting around, and then I'll sell those to anybody who's looking to buy it.
Where do you find vending warehouses?
So you would have to Google vending machine companies in your area,
okay,
and then contact them and see if they sell.
So it's machines. All like regional. It's all regional.
Yeah.
So after I order, I'm thinking to myself right now, I'm ordering a machine.
probably need the location first, right? Because they're not going to send that to your house, right? So do they send it to, like, what happens after I order it?
So you could pick the machine up first, but I recommend to people always get the machine after you have the location for multiple reasons. Because if you go out and you get excited, okay, I'm going to vending thing, I see a cheap soda machine, this is a great deal, you buy it, mm-hmm. maybe you got it in your garage or something like that, mm-hmm. you don't know what type of location you're going to get first. So that means you don't know what that location is going to need. Maybe they already got a soda machine, maybe they need a snack machine.
And maybe it won't fit.
Right, and that's another thing, you don't know what the measurements are for that space they have to put the machine. So it could be the machine you make, you could have maybe too big. Maybe it's too big to fit through the doorway, maybe it's too big for the space that they actually want the machine. So it's always best to wait until you get that location, you know, on paper, and then you go out and get your machine. But on the flip side, you also want to know your resources first. Like, you want to know where you're getting that machine from prior to, you know, finding your location.
So, like, what's some typical, are they like typical profit margins? Like, how much money should a person expect to make off of like one machine?
So a good location, you'll see around $500 per machine, right? Most locations have two machines. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Unless it's like a combo. Most of the time, if you'll find a combo machine, it's in a smaller space because they can't fit two machines, or it's because maybe it's lower traffic, and you don't want to put two machines in there, you know, that type of situation.
So like $1,000 if you have two machines in one location.
Yeah, that's about right.
When you had to find locations, you obviously looked at your life. You said, look, I played ball here, I'm gonna put one here. That's my high school, that's my barbershop. What does the average person have to do in terms of finding locations?
So step one, now to be honest with y'all, like, I had experience and like different marketing beforehand, so I was already kind of
seasoned
with networking and reaching people and calling and all that type of stuff.
Some wholesaling,
huh?
Were you doing wholesaling?
I did do wholesaling. Yeah. So
real estate.
Yeah. Okay. So I used those same type of tactics to find locations because I learned a lot from actually going out and trying to find properties. Mm. You know what I'm saying? When I was doing the wholesaling thing. So the first thing I did was network. So I reached out to everybody around me, all my friends, all my family members, let them know what I was doing. And just through doing that, it led me to having like my first few locations. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I ended up getting a school, which is my prior high school. I talked to them, you know, they let me place a vending machine in there, and it led me to, you know, getting a few other spots.
You know, I'm just thinking about it. A lot of places that they have two vending machines. Yeah. Like a community center, right. A school. Yeah, you have two vending machines.
Yeah.
Never thought about that before.
Sorry to cut you off,
you can have two vending machines right next to each other. Like, one is sodas and drinks.
Yeah.
The other one is candies and chips and stuff.
Yeah, they're always like right next to each other.
Mm-hmm. So that's not bad if you think about it. Like $1,000, that's like, you could be getting rental income.
Easy.
But it's a lot less overhead as far as buying a home.
Yeah, that was what I was gonna say. Two things. Well, first, when these big corporations, like if I see a Coca-Cola machine, right, that's a vending machine. Can I purchase that from it, or is the corporation putting that in a location? Because you could have two vending machines and then they have all Coke products. Mm-hmm. Can you purchase that?
Can you purchase it from who?
From like Coca-Cola. Is that like a thing? Can you get a vending machine from a corporation?
You're talking about as far as if the machine is placed somewhere or if they're just manufacturing the machines.
Well, so I'm thinking in terms of I have my vending machine, right? I have two of them there, and then there's like a Coke machine that sells Coke products. Is that something that like the average person could purchase, or is it just straight from the corporation?
So all right. So Coke actually places machines themselves.
Okay.
So but what they'll do is they actually just will place the machine, right? Mm-hmm. But the thing is, the person they would have to like charge a certain amount in products. So the products, once you buy a certain amount of products from Coke, they get a place of vending machine for free.
Mm.
So and then they'll service it or whatever. Like so, if you're talking about like if that machine is there, more than likely your machine won't be there because they'll have some type of contract with Coca-Cola.
Nobody else can come in.
And they're not gonna let nobody else in there.
So as far as location, because I know you said that. Yeah, a couple different keys: foot traffic, isolation,
mm-hmm.
Waiting rooms. So all of these different things. But before you even get to that, how do you approach somebody to put a vending machine in their place? Like, all right, so you see a school. Like, what's the process to say, hey, can I put a vending machine here?
Can I talk to the principal? Like, who?
Yeah, like, how does that work?
So, that's a good question, man. That's a lot of questions everybody asks. But all I really do is I'll approach whoever the receptionist is at that first point of contact, and I'll ask them who I need to speak to place a machine here. So, it's usually the person, everybody usually has a person who's in charge of doing business. Mm-hmm. So, the high school has a business manager. I had to talk to them. So if I'm going into a motel or something, most of the time they have a business manager, you talk to them. So it's just about asking that first point of contact. Obviously, if you could find a manager or something like that, reach who you could reach, but then ask that person who's the person that I have to talk to that actually makes the decision.
So once you get in the high school or you get into the recreation center, is there a fee that you have to pay for being there? Or is just part of the profit margin you have to give to the place? Like, how's that work?
So it's all about, from my experience, it's all about how you get that plot, how you get that spot. Mm-hmm. So if you have, you can have different resources you're using to get locations, mm-hmm. right? If one thing that you could do is you go out yourself and you actually look for locations. Like, when we talk about the wholesaling thing, it's called like driving for dollars. Mm-hmm. Like, you heard of that term before,
yep,
right?
Yep.
So that's a method. You go out and drive around. I actually found the laundromat the other day. Just driving around. I wasn't even looking for it, but I just happened to see it. And actually, I put it on Instagram, so I put it on live.
Yeah.
Just to show people, like, this is like, you know, how easy it is to find something if you're paying attention to what's around you.
Yeah.
So that's one method. And another method is like cold calling, which is you just make a list of multiple places that may be suitable for a vending machine in your area that you're looking to place one, mm-hmm. like using zip codes or whatever. And you just call them. If you're doing that method, most of the time I found when you found like a location like that, they ask for a commission because you're asking to come into their space and right. do business. Like, you're asking for something from them.
Yeah.
Right. Now, on the flip side, you go to a website, right? The most common thing people do is when they're looking for vending services, if you just opened up your store, your business or whatever it may be, it's Google. So they go right to Google, vending machine service in Philadelphia. My joint is like one of the top ones on there. So you click on that, they call you, they contact you, and then they're going to ask you to place a vending machine in their place of business.
Oh, okay.
So in that scenario, most of the time they don't ask you for a commission because they just want your service. They want your service for their customers or for their employees or for whatever reason. It's just like, yo, we just want your service. We're not worried about commission.
So okay. If you approach them, you got to pay them.
Most of the time.
If they approach you, you don't have to pay.
Most of the time. Most of the time, that's how that goes. Now, it also depends on what type of place it is, because if you're dealing with, like, recreation centers and schools, a lot of times those facilities are deprived of funds already, so they're always looking for different ways to supplement, some income, so yeah. They're going to bring that up.
So what kind of commission is fair? Like, if somebody, I'll let you put it here, but you got to give me 20%, 10%, like, what's a fair amount that...
A fair amount really depends on the traffic in that location, but it typically is around 10%.
10%.
Yeah, 10% is like a fair amount most of the time if it's a good location.
All right, so you sit down, you say, we can have the vending machine here. What we do next? Are we drawing up a contract?
Right, so at the point where they give me the person of contact,
yeah.
and they say they're interested, and I'll schedule a meeting with them. So we'll sit down like we're talking now. I'll have a proposal, which is something I came up with just from doing the meetings, and it's all the information is in the proposal, which just cuts down the meeting time. So, in there it's just about your business, a little bit about yourself. You wanna put the products that you use, what makes you different than other companies, your price points for your products, just present all that to them. And then, if they like that, then I also have the contract there. So, and if they're good with the contract, we sign it right there, do the deal right there. Now, sometimes it doesn't go that way. Sometimes they might want certain contingencies or whatever in the contract. So if they want that, then you obviously you have to go back and draw up a new contract and get them to sign that one.
But, yeah, I'm thinking of like the school, right? Because I'm thinking like one of the contingencies they may have is like mm-hmm. you can't serve a certain amount of sugary items.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It has to be healthy options.
Certain products. And then it's like some people will want your actual service hours in there, or they'll want... if something goes wrong, you have to repair it by this amount of time, okay. type of thing. Like, so that stuff is usually tweak. But for the most part, they just go by what's on the paper.
So, okay. So as far as, let's go back to location. So like you said foot traffic, accessibility, isolation, and waiting rooms. Those are like your four golden rules, right?
Hold on 1 second, though. And the for the commission thing, I never bring up commission. So never sit down with a location and say, all right, well, this is the amount that we pay in commission. If they don't mention it.
Oh, yeah, no,
I don't give them money.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Because some people think that. That's like they pitching, like, point is like, we can pay you this much in commission, blah, blah, blah. Don't mention that.
Because it's not necessary. No, that's a good point. Because you might automatically assume that you have to pay because you're in their space. But like you said, it's kind of like an attraction where it's like my son goes to camp, and every time I pick him up, he's like, can you give me something from the vending machine? So it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like the vending machine is actually helping in that situation because it's like people, you might just walk into a space just to use the vending machine.
Right.
Yeah, so that, and I'm thinking about from the business standpoint, having a school during the year is great. Having a recreation center during the summer, goldmine. Right. That's all kids want.
Well, no. So recreation centers during the school year are good too because they have different programs.
Right.
And they have basketball games and stuff.
We got some
and
people to talk to, Sean.
Yeah. So all right. So location is the most important thing with real estate. Period. And I guess this is no different from vending machine either, right? You got the best vending. You could be giving away gold bars if it's in the desert. It doesn't matter. So how do you know what's a good location? I mean, obviously. Well, I'm going to say obviously. How do you know what's a good location or not?
So, I mean, from what you just, basically what you just mentioned, but I picked them up as time went on, just noticing different things. So when I'm walking into a location, I go with a checklist. I don't really use it anymore because I kind of like know now, but it's best to have a checklist and use this, and this is what you want to look for. So you want to look for, when you pull up to the space, is there any stores around that building? So when I say isolation, that's what I'm talking about. So I'll take a lap or two laps around, see, I'm looking for corner stores, I'm looking just for other places to eat. All right, so if I don't see no other places to eat, I'm like, okay, so that's a good sign.
Yeah.
Right, and then when I walk in the door, I'm looking, in terms of moving, I'm looking for steps and all that type of stuff because you have to move the machine in there. But in terms of what makes it a good location, I'm looking to see where the machine will be placed. All right, so I'm like, all right, well, is it placed somewhere where it's visible and people can see it? Because I had one situation where it was a hotel wanted me to put a machine in there, but they wanted the machine like in the back, way in the back where nobody would see it. And on the flip side, I had a gas station right next door. So when I was watching, I'm watching people come in and they just making a left, turn right out, go right to the gas station. I'm like, nah, it's not stopping.
Because the gas station is the place now that they're going to get
that
the snacks
from. They see the gas station because it's right, because it was a big glass, you know, door, obviously, and it's right there.
Right.
Versus if that machine was placed in the lobby, they just would have used the machine. Then nobody wants to walk all the way over there if you ain't got to.
Only the night shift.
Right. So, so you know, that's real important. As important is it being visible and it being accessible to everyone. So if everybody can use it, if it's visible, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
Another thing I'm looking for is hours of operation. So how long is this place open? Like you said, night shift, some places are open 24 hours, right? That gives you more sales versus it only being open for
nine to five.
Like, so that's another important
cafeteria
piece.
Cafeteria closed now. Yeah.
Right, so, and then probably the last thing I'm looking for is, foot traffic, right? Which is this is the most important thing. You want to see how many employees they got, how many people are visiting this place, how many people are in and out coming past this machine.
Yeah. One of the things you said, and after you said it, I was like, wow, that's brilliant. Places that have ideal time where people are just waiting. So obviously got hospital. But when you just said laundry, man, I'm thinking like, oh my gosh. Yes. Like people are sitting in there all day watching machines go.
Yeah.
No, laundromats are big, schools are big,
yeah.
Recreation centers are big, hospitals are big.
Hospitals are huge.
I'm thinking that's the number one.
Office buildings are big.
Dorms.
Yeah, college dorms are big.
These are just
So to name a few.
And to give an example, is Temple. We have a Temple dorm guy I was doing business with. That location does around $3,500
a month.
How many machines?
Two.
You know what? I mean, college kids don't have a lot of money and they don't have the transportation. So if you put the vending machine,
right, and that's you. That's your machines.
Those two are mine. It's the guy, actually, I know we were talking a little off camera. Yeah. So another guy, one of my first mentee, I helped him find a spot, and that was the spot that we got.
Damn, $3,500, that's good bread.
Right. Two machines.
Mm-hmm. Two machines, $3,500. And then on top of that, since that building is built the way it built, it could be more machines placed in there.
And you said there's a difference in when, I mean, the older machines don't have something that's very important that you said, and that's the card readers. Right, because now a lot of people don't have cash, but they do have cards to use.
So what we do is we'll take the older machines and add upgrades to them. So we might change the door. We might use what we call like the LED lighting. So, you know, the little light strips, put that in the door, makes it a little brighter.
Yeah.
And we could add the card readers, but we would just have to change what's in there. It's called a circuit board.
Okay. Expensive?
A circuit board costs about $200. Oh. Card readers are about $400. So you're looking at, use that is about additional $600, but on the flip side, those usually increase your sales by at least 30-40%. Like, so, you know, it's worth it actually getting those on there if, you know, you plan on doing it on a serious note.
So, okay. So as far as installation, right, how do you know which products to put? So you just buy a machine and you can put anything in the machine, correct?
Anything you want.
How do you know which products? Do you do like, okay, I like Doritos, so, or like, how do you know like which is a good product? Yo, okay.
that's an excellent question, because my first location that I got, when I said it was only doing only a few dollars or whatever, I was putting in there what I like. You know what I'm saying? So I had what I like.
Yeah,
I'm walking through Sam's Club like, okay, this is good. But after a while, I was like, no, you have to put in what they want. So what I like to do is on my first, if it's an office building or something like that, I'll use a newsletter. And I'll send out a newsletter introducing my services, and I'll give them an opportunity to tell me what they want in the machine. That's like step one. Other than that, it really comes down to demographics. Like this, you know, certain demographics, certain groups,
no avocado toast in there.
Certain groups of people like certain things. So from my experience, I know if I'm dealing with a mostly like Caucasian group, they tend to like more of like the plain chips and like the, for real. They
no spice, like
more,
no spice.
More of the plain chips, whereas though if I'm dealing with others, it might be more like, you know, the flavorful barbecue type.
So you got
Takis
in there.
Yeah, man. It depends where you're at. But it is definitely best to always let the people tell you what they want.
And the inventory you're actually going to get, right? So right. Like you are going to these warehouses, I'm assuming. Or so you're not in the supermarket.
I go to Sam's Club. Okay. So I mostly shop at Sam's Club. But I do have a warehouse that I go to get products. Now the thing with Sam's Club is it's good if you're just doing it like small scale, but if you're buying like variety boxes of chips and whatnot,
yeah.
They're going to put the good chips in there. Then they're going to put like a bullshit ass.
They always do that.
Selection in there.
And that's the one that never sells.
And that's the one that's not going to sell. So yeah. When you're doing that, you know, on a larger scale, you have to keep buying those boxes. It's like, all right, well, that's making me lose money.
Yeah.
So when you get to a certain point, you could just cut that out. And then if you go find a source, you could just get the straight fire products, but you have to buy it in a larger quantity. Mm. So that box of Sam's Club comes in a box of 30 most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas though, if I buy that in the larger quantity, I got about a box of 64 of all one selection, which is going to cost you more money because now you have to put that variety box. It's going to take about four or five rows because there's different chips in there.
Yeah.
Versus it just being one whole box of one product. That's only one row of a product.
How often are you changing the machines?
Weekly.
Weekly?
Weekly.
Okay.
Yeah. So, if you're doing it more than once a week, you probably need a bigger machine. If you're not doing it once a week, you probably need a smaller machine.
And, so how do you know what to charge? Because you can charge anything. I just found that out. You can charge anything,
right? You set the
prices. Yeah, you set all your own prices. And it, once again, it just comes down to demographics. It comes down to the region, the area you actually, you know, working in. I know we're over here in New York, my candy bars are going to be about $2. Like, but if I'm in Philly over there, it's going to be about $125. But the main thing I'm looking at is my return on investment, like my
ROI.
ROI, yeah. So I'm like, if I'm spending X amount, I want at least double that. So at minimum, I'm doubling what I'm paying for the products.
Okay.
But I'm actually, I always try to reach like the triple. I try to, you know, get the 300% mark of what I'm actually paying back. What I'm actually paying for the product. So whatever I'm investing, I'm trying at least.
So if I buy a candy bar for $1, I need to charge $3. in a vending machine. Just using that as like an example, a rough example. Yeah. Obviously, you're not gonna charge $3 for a candy bar, but I'm just saying.
They did that at my job. Like, I went to the vending machine and the 65 cent bag of chips is now $5.
Is it really
$5?
I'm gonna send you the picture. I was like, nah, this is a joke.
Right? Impossible.
I'm gonna send you the picture. It was ridiculous. I'm like, wait, huh?
Impossible.
Yeah. I'll send you the picture. Yeah. No joke. So, I'm like, this is ridiculous.
What kind of chips are they?
Sal's? You ever ate those? You know Sal's chips?
No, how big is this bag of chips?
It's the 60, like the normal 65 cent bag of chips.
Nah, it's impossible.
So it's like a 2 ounce bag? It's like 1.7 or something?
I will send y'all the picture.
Nah, it's impossible.
Yeah, ridiculous.
That's crazy. But they do, you know, people do that. I mean, now I've never seen $5.
That's like the airport. That's more expensive than the airport.
If you get a location like the airport or like the hotels, you could really charge more for those.
Oh, you can get vending machines in the airport. Yeah. That's where you make money. Yeah. Airport prices is just ridiculous just because it's at an airport.
Just for the food, though. Because now they got the vending machines that sell electronics, too.
Yeah, so that's another thing I wanted to touch on, too. It's like, you could think outside the box and get creative. You could sell anything out of a vending machine. You could sell electronics. Somebody I found online was selling knickknacks out of them in the airport, and she was making $8,000 a year.
Oh, wow. What's a knickknack?
So like the stuff that you know you might get while you're in that city or whatever, like those little whatever,
like the little trunkets and like little. Like it was welcome like little, to little, LA. Little, I love New York. Things.
Charms and stuff like that, and she had like balled up T-shirts in there, like you know making good money, like just thinking outside the box.
It's like the sneaker one. Like nobody ever wins the sneaker one, but you put $2 to try to do it every time.
Right. Like so it's a lot of different things you could put in there if you could really like get creative with it.
What's the craziest one you've seen?
Craziest one?
You had one on your page in Dubai, they have gold bars?
Yeah, I haven't seen that one though, but yeah, I've seen like it's gold bars.
You could buy gold bars. Right. Or pieces of gold.
I don't know why you want to buy it, but you know
it's Dubai, everything.
Let's go to the vending machine and get some gold,
Yeah, but you know it's a lot of crazy ones out there, man. I've seen some where they selling water. I seen pizza. It's a pizza vending machine.
There was an article about that. They put that on college campuses where it makes a pizza in like 90 seconds or something.
They had a Plan B machine. On college campus.
Another college campus item.
I forgot. And it's actually not far from here.
Yo, that's actually, honestly. The
contraception machine.
No, that's not a bad idea. No, that's, the contraception machines are not a bad idea. You have condoms?
They used to put them in the bathroom. Remember you used to put a quarter and then y'all don't remember that?
I haven't seen that.
It's a little old school. It's like you put a quarter and you get a contraception.
Wow. Yeah. Was that even legal to have a point? Because I know
they got them out there. And then it's like the hair weave and eyelashes. So
you know what? What about medical marijuana? Oh, just marijuana. Yeah. Period.
That too. They got those out in California. They got the marijuana. So I'm not exactly sure how those operate because you know that's regulated. So you need ID and whatnot.
Yeah.
And security at that machine.
Probably.
So,
yeah.
That's a little different. But they do have those out there.
What about vandalism? Like if somebody destroys your machine, how does that work? You have insurance on it?
I had that happen before once, but yeah, so basically, if somebody destroys it, messes it up, if you got insurance on it, then you cover it. If not, you know.
You can go through any insurance company, Geico, State Farm, anything like Liberty?
I'm not sure if it's any. I know State Farm is one. But yeah, it's just regular insurance companies cover it.
Is it pricey?
No, it's not pricey at all. It's not pricey at all.
So you would recommend always having that?
I would definitely recommend having insurance. But the thing is, when you actually go through the process of picking out a good location, if you're meeting the criteria, it's hard to do vandalism because if the machine is somewhere open and somewhere is, you know, if a place is always, you know, has long hours, most of the time they have security. And most 9 times out of 10, that vending machine is somewhere near that security, like wherever it's sitting at in the lobby somewhere. So it's always gonna be somewhere where people see it. And like it's always, if it's foot traffic, it's gonna be, if it's good foot traffic, then people are always gonna be around. So it's hard to vandalize, machines.
Or some place with cameras.
Yeah.
Like a school or community center, something like that.
Mine's happened more so when I had it in that motel we was talking about. Yeah. When it shut down, it was like when I went back, it was over.
What's the lifespan of a machine?
That's a great question. I mean, I have some machines I haven't had any issues with, like, since I had. Mm-hmm. And some of them you get is just, like, problems. I had one machine in particular that's always giving me a problem. I actually switched it out recently.
What type of problems? Like, the
mechanical?
It doesn't dispense the merchandise? Like?
No, so a vending machine really is only about three parts. You got your bill accepted. And a lot of people think like, oh, what about, that's one of the questions I get a lot too. What about the cost of maintenance. The cost of maintenance isn't high at all. Like, it's really like, it's rare that something goes wrong with those machines. But you got your bill acceptor, your coin mechanism, which is where you put the coins in, mm-hmm. and then you have your board. So your board is like the thing everything is connected to.
Press East 4.
No, but that, yeah, basically, but that runs to a little board that's inside the vending machine, okay. right? And those are the main three parts. The coils and stuff don't really, like, those are ran by little motors, but those don't really go bad.
Okay.
Those are typically okay. But the thing that gets the most use is the bill acceptor, because people are always putting the bills in there or whatever. I probably switch that out probably every, like, maybe like 2 years or something. But if you're taking care of it the right way, you won't have to do that. I'm bad at that part, but you know, you could have you could order a thing off Amazon. It's like a little sticky. It looks like a sticky card. You put it in there and then pull it out, and it pulls all the dirt and stuff out of the bill acceptor, which helps it keeps it clean. Because what's in there is it's a reader. So once that reader gets too like dirty or too like, you know, beat up, it doesn't work anymore.
So like, how do you? All right. So the money you collect, just, you know, you go in there, but like the credit card. That goes like directly to like a PayPal account?
It goes directly to a bank account.
The bank account.
Yeah. Oh wow. Yeah. So every time somebody uses a credit, it goes right in?
Well, it doesn't go right in. It goes to that service. It goes to that provider's account. Then they have a payout date.
Then they pay out. Similar
to what you would use like with like a Shopify.
You
choose your payout date. And then on those days, you get paid out for whatever card reader sales that you had.
What about the process of buying and selling routes? I know sometimes you said that if there is a slow time, you might want to sell that machine or sell that route. Can mm-hmm. you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So, I mean, in the business, you know, you obviously the bulk of your money is going to come from you selling products out of your machine. But it's also other ways to make money once you get going, which one of the best ways is, like you just said, buying and selling routes. So I might, like for the perfect scenario, the best scenario I had with buying a route and selling it was, I brought a route for $3,500. Now, originally the guy was trying to charge me like $7,000 for it or something like that. I was like, no, I'm okay. I'm not even really in desperate need. I'm not really looking for anything. But, you know, he couldn't sell it. So he came back to me. He was like, you know, I still got this route. I'll give it to you for $3,500. And I'm like, okay, so I'm looking at it. It's six vending machines. And it's three locations. So I'm like, man, that's like a giveaway. Like,
yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'll take it for $35. So I brought it. I checked out the locations. Two of the locations I didn't like. So I'm like, okay, this location is bad. But it was good machines in there. The other location was bad. One location was good. So what I did was I kept the good location and I sold the other two locations for $35 apiece. So I ended up making a profit of $7,000 off of that situation. Yeah. So that's just another way to make money on the back end. So if you're into buying routes, yeah, you could just buy a route out. Maybe you could keep the machines, you know, sell the machines, or you could just try to sell the machine on location, which is easier to sell them if they already placed. Like that takes work off of the next man.
Is there any way to get a machine for free, like financing or pay it back on the back end through money that you make in future, or no?
It's a great question. So you can rent machines from the same type of people that I talked about before, as far as like with the, if you're going through a vending warehouse, they do allow you to rent machines sometimes. If you look online, you can find some people that rent machines as well. I don't really suggest doing it because it gives you like an overhead. You know, where, you know, if that's your way in, then that's your way in, you know what I'm saying? But you could also, once you get to a certain point in the business, like I mentioned before with Coca-Cola and Pepsi, one of the programs that they have is once you buy a certain amount of their product, they give you machines. But it has to be on contract.
So like when you say like buy their products, like,
so you're putting their sodas in your machine.
So you got to buy like $10,000 worth of Coke.
It's not $10,000, but it's like, it's definitely a good amount. And you have to buy, you're committed to buying that amount at least at minimum every month. But they'll give you the vending machine for free because obviously it's helping them. Product. It's helping you move that product, you know, but that's a way to get free vending machines too. But that's not, you probably won't do that until like, you know, later down the line.
Right. What about the contracts? What are the typical lengths of the contract? Is it like 6 months? Is it a year?
About 2 years. I do 2 years.
2 year contract?
Yeah, to 2 year increments.
Dope. All right. Well, that was a lot of information for sure. So in the next segment, we're going to bring it home. All right, so we're going to close it out. But before, I got a few questions. So, all right, especially in schools and with kids and stuff like that, what's your thoughts on, because childhood obesity is a big thing. Mm-hmm. So what's your thoughts on, like, junk food? Because you can have healthy stuff in there as well. Obviously, it's not as popular. Do you ever think about that? Or
yeah, that's something that actually comes up a lot of times in the meetings, like when I'm talking to like the potential locations. So they you know, they always want the healthy selections, which I'm big on healthy selections anyway. Definitely want to give people a choice. So I like to put half traditional, and then I put half healthy.
Okay.
I tried the whole health thing one time.
It didn't go that well.
So I definitely do. I do so my. Most of the time, a vending machine will have multiple rows of, like, two rows for chips, two rows for snacks, and then you got your candy roll or whatever. So on my top one, I make half of that, like, baked or something like, you know.
Like a power bar, something like that?
Not for the chips, but, like, this, yeah, like, something big.
Oh,
okay, something
okay.
Like
oh,
less
for chips,
fat.
Okay, yeah.
And then once we get to, like, the candy roll, I just make sure it's, like, some healthy stuff, like trail mix. Or yeah, like a power bar. So just something that's, you know, it'd be good for somebody to grab quick that's still healthy for you.
And depending on where you're at, right? Like that, you have to take that into account as far as inventory, because like you said, in Philly, I got a sugar tax,
mm-hmm, right?
So when buying stuff, you got to take that into account
right.
too.
And we also have old people's home. So, you know, in there, I can't put a lot of sugar stuff. So it really just depends on where you're putting that machine at. But it definitely always comes up in the conversation when you're placing a machine is having healthy selections. Everybody wants healthy selections. And I think that's more so a big wave now.
Yeah, now, yeah.
In the direction that we're going as a, you know.
Country.
As a country, yeah. is getting more healthy stuff out there. So, you know.
Yeah.
You are the food source for a lot of us. Like, a lot of us don't have time to go out for lunch. It's like, yo, let me just grab something quick.
Right, and you want to make sure they at least got the choice to get something healthy versus having to get something, you know, it's not good for you.
So, like, ramen noodles and stuff like I've seen that in there.
I had those in there.
So, noodles, yeah. What's your sweet spot? Like, because I know you said you don't like perishable goods for obvious reasons because they expire. Does candy expire?
Yes.
It has an expiration date. It's a long one, though.
Yeah.
Like a long time, though, right?
Yeah, it takes a while. But it depends on the conditions, like your temperature and all that. So if you, in the summertime, Snickers bar in the sun, they ain't going to last too long. Because once it resets, most of the time when it resets into being like the regular form, it's like not really molded, but it's just like discolored and it doesn't look appealing for people to eat. They're not going
to
eat it.
So you try to have your, but it's always inside, though, right? You try like air condition.
Most of the time it's inside, but I'm more so talking about like storage. So it depends where you're storing your stuff too.
I never thought about that. You got to store it. Do you store it or do you just buy it as you go?
I store it, but when I first started, I was just buying it as I go.
So your living room was full of boxes.
No, so I got a spot in my crib where I like something similar to like this area here, but like a little smaller. That whole area was full with snacks.
Okay,
but you know if you buy it as you go, it's a little easier, but once you get it down to a science, so the thing about buying it as you go is you got to take trips to the store every week. Like, so you really want to figure out how much you need. So you could just buy your month's worth and then have it just sitting over there in the corner. So all you got to do is grab the stuff and go fill up the machine versus making multiple trips.
So a full-time day is like, all right, I'm going to schedule. I'm going to go to this location to refill, this location to refill.
Yeah, so it's like, all right, so I do my, the day before I'll prep. Fill up all my bins. I have bins that I carry the products in. Mm-hmm. Fill up all my bins. Pick the spots I'm going to. Just knock the spots down one by one. But I pack everything the night before.
Now, that's a one man show. You doing this by yourself?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I saw you saying like as far as the numbers on it. So it's like I think it's like under six locations is under six machines. Let me see if I have this written down somewhere.
It's like passive.
Passive. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, can you explain that? Like the numbers?
So it really, now, honestly, it depends on your location.
Okay.
Like, obviously, but we're talking about this standard average. Like if you have around six machines, that's kind of still passive. Like that's not going to take up too much of your time. And, you know, you can still get whatever done. Once you get to like around like 10 machines, you more so like on like a part-time type of thing, like if you was working part-time, because it's going to take up a little more time as far as you keeping up with your products and you going to your spots, depending on how far your spots are. Once you get past like 15, that's more like a, you know, once you get like 15, 20, you're
like a real business, like a full-time situation.
Yeah, like now you're doing that full-time. Like if you're doing it right, you should be making good money, but that's going to take up a lot of your time.
So if you have 20 machines, theoretically, you should be making like 15,000 around that?
At least
20 on the good end?
At least 15 at minimum, you should at least be doing like 10, even if you don't have good location. Like you should at least
like 10 a month.
10
right.
Now, the thing about the vending machine thing is it's an interesting situation because it's one of these things where I always say it's never about home runs. It's never about home runs in life. It's about base hits. Like if you play baseball, you got to get base hits consistently. Mm-hmm. And the vending machine thing is like a base hit. Like even if you got, you know, a couple going and you're getting 2,000, like that's 2,000. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. 3,000, whatever. It's like, now that takes pressure off of you. That's a nice passive stream of income. Mm-hmm. You build that up, you know, however large you want it to grow. But it's one of these things that's extremely practical. Everybody has seen vending machines.
Or used it.
Yeah. It's not rocket science. And it's not really that difficult as far as to understand the general idea of it.
I think people think in their mind, like, oh, somebody spent $1.25. It's not a lot of money, but enough dollars makes sense.
No, you know what? It's not even about that. A lot of times we just mentally psych ourselves out of everything. So it's like, you see a vending machine every single day. How many people have ever thought about owning a vending machine?
Right.
I've never thought about it. You see it, why not? Somebody owns it.
You're getting killed every summer.
Somebody owns it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why not?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people shy away from it too. Like even when they think about that idea, it's like they're scared of like the maintenance. They be thinking, okay, well, I don't know how to fix it. But you know, at the end of the day, it's not too complicated. But for any business, you're going to have hurdles where you have to figure stuff out. It's no different than that. Like so, once you get it going and you run into an issue, of course, you have to. I mean, YouTube is your friend. You probably can find a solution on YouTube. If not, find a resource to call in and just watch what they do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and most of the time, you know, that's how I learn how to fix machines.
Yeah, are they like, I'm going to ask you that. Like, do you fix it yourself or do you hire like mechanics that specialize in vending machines?
So for the most part, I fix them myself. The only thing I can't fix is the refrigeration units. It's called the compressors. So the compressors are a little more complicated. I don't know how to fix those yet. But like the bill acceptors and the coin mechanisms and like that type of stuff, I can fix those because it's like it's a common thing. And that's most of the time, 9 times out of 10, that's what you're going to be dealing with if something goes wrong. Most of the time, it's just like a dollar got stuck or maybe your bill acceptor went bad. It's just screw it out, put a new one in, screw it back in, like that type of thing.
What's the best item in vending machine history?
Peanut M&Ms.
Right.
For snacks, for drinks, Pepsi. Man, Pepsi sells like
that combo like, together
like,
is classic.
Like nothing else.
Peanut M&M's.
You got whatever you sell on that's everything right. else, Pepsi is gonna sell double.
I'm a candy guy.
Pepsi sells more than Coke?
Pepsi sells more than anything. Pepsi like
really?
Well, everywhere. Everybody I know would do it.
Pepsi. More than water?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your largest profit item is water though.
Yeah.
You make the most off of water.
Off of water.
Yeah. But Pepsi sells like nothing else. Peanut M&M's sell real well too.
What's your favorite?
My favorite Skittles, Starburst, and Peanut M&M's.
Yeah, peanut. I don't even know if I even had peanut M&M's.
I don't like them personally. Yeah, like, that's what kind of messed me up the first time around. I was like, oh, these ain't good. But you know, when I was stocking
the combination of the Pepsi and the peanut M&M,
Buttercrunch cookies.
That's not in every vending machine, though.
It should be.
Those are smack.
Payday candy bars.
No, that's a niche thing.
And oil and vinegar chips.
That's another niche chip.
No,
that's a niche
oil
chip.
And vinegar.
Yeah. Like oil and vinegar.
That's the chip that gets.
That's not niche. No. Oil and vinegar is elite. That's elite.
The Lay's chip.
No.
Red bag of Doritos.
Yeah, class.
That's gone.
Those are moving.
The black popcorn chip bag. That's another item.
The Cooler Ranch.
Plain. Not really Lay's. People like and where I'm at, people like the hers, like plain hers. They love those.
Yeah.
More
plain chips, Doritos, pretzels also.
Pretzels are depending where they at.
Yeah.
But the Doritos, the peanut M&M's. Pepsi, that's selling no matter. I call those like staple items. Like those items will be in the machine no matter which of demographic.
I see sometimes they'll put like the M&Ms in one row and then like put them at the next row too, just because.
Because they sell like, because if you don't do that, you gonna run out. Like, so that's gonna run out. It's like with Pepsi. You know, most of the time you had two rolls of Pepsi in the machine.
Just because
it's gonna sell faster than anything
and
else.
And then you have to come back once it sells out.
Right. You might even have to come back. It's just gonna sell out, and then you could be losing out on money if that person only came to that machine to get some peanut M&Ms. They like, oh, well, I don't want nothing then, type of thing.
Are you moving into other things to put in the vending machine? Like, is there other items that you see in the future? Like, you know what, I might want to go that route.
No, I like keeping it traditional. But I do see, you know, I see a lot of things, you know, I see people coming up with that's real creative. I see some celebrities coming out with different ideas. I know Kylie Jenner just launched like a vending machine with one of them had
makeup?
Champagne and Skittles.
Oh yeah?
The other one had like her makeup line, which I know is big.
That's not a bad idea either. Makeup, little stuff like that, like chapstick and things like that.
Yeah.
Where it's like you on the run. That's not a bad idea. But yeah, you're never going to lose with beverages. Especially beverages. People always drink stuff.
Yeah.
And candy. It's kind of like a no-brainer.
In the words of Mike, I'm addicted to candy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they always going to be in business with me.
My graduates from my school being Forbes. Bag drop. A mic drop. Bag drop.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Why pay more for a separate CoQ10 supplement? Enjoy twice the benefits with SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced. From the number one doctor, pharmacist, and cardiologist recommended beet brand for heart health support, the new SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced by Human is now infused with CoQ10. That's essentially like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 ingredients support nitric oxide production, healthy blood pressure, healthy CoQ10 levels, and heart-healthy energy with 2 tasty chews a day. Plus, SuperBeats Heart Chews Advance are plant-based, so you get heart-healthy energy without stimulants. For a limited time, get a free 30-day supply of SuperBeats Heart Chews on all bundles and 15% off your first order by going to radiobeats.com and using promo code DEAL. That's radiobeats.com, code DEAL.